I think I can be safe in saying this morning that Paul had a big heart for every church that he had the opportunity to plant in Asia Minor. Every town that he went to share the gospel, he developed a heart for the people who came to know Jesus Christ because of his witness and his preaching. And he also developed a pastoral heart toward those people who became a part of the body of Christ in that place. Such a big heart and such a big relationship that when God led him to move on to other places, he continued to think about that church. He continued to think about the people that he had the opportunity to win to the Lord. He thought about the leaders that he had left behind who were now preaching the gospel themselves and leading that congregation, the elders and the deacons and all of those kinds of folks that he left behind. But he all had such a big heart for those churches that he found ways in his absence to continue to encourage them. One way that he encouraged them is that every once in a while he would sit down and write a letter to them. We have the letter to the church at Ephesus here that we're preaching through over these next few months. He wrote a letter to them just re-emphasizing the gospel, re-emphasizing the kind of relationship they have with Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ wants them to grow and how they are to be the body of Christ where they are. He also would every once in a while send someone, some representative from him to them to encourage them, sometimes with a written note or sometimes with a letter. Sometimes he would drop by as he was traveling to different places, and he sometimes would come close enough to ask the elders of that church to come and meet him in a neutral place where they would talk. He did that with the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. But one of the main ways that he encouraged the churches that he planted was that he prayed for them. He prayed for them. I hope that prayer in your life is more than just a spare tire that you use when you have a flat and you just come to God and talk about all the flats in your life. I hope that for you, prayer is the way you encourage not only yourself and your relationship with God, but it's the way you encourage others who you pray about. They may never really realize how much you're praying for them. They may not realize that you are praying for them every day, and yet as a form of encouragement, God uses our prayers to help encourage people. May we always, as a church, be a praying church. A church that understands that prayer is not relegated to the emergencies of life, but it's relegated to life itself. And so here in the letter to Ephesians, Paul started out in a different way, as we've been talking about. He started out by talking about the blessings that they have in their relationship with God, the blessings that come from God our Father, the blessings that come from God the Son, and the blessings that come from God the Holy Spirit. And we looked at those over the last few Sundays, the blessings that keep us going, that helps encourage us to keep going in our walk with God, no matter what kind of circumstances and situations we face. We look back and we realize that God has chosen us, and that God loves us. Jesus Christ redeems us. Jesus Christ forgives us of our sins. Jesus gives us an inheritance that we will enjoy one day. We enjoy the fruits of it today in the life we live. The Holy Spirit seals us and secures us and is the foretaste of what we'll experience when we come to heaven. And then here in these verses, he starts talking about how he prays for them. This chapter talks about in Ephesians 1 through 14, Paul sings the song of praise for all the blessings God gives him. In Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, Paul prays. In Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, Paul cites all the blessings that God has given. And in Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, Paul spotlights the marks of an effective church and the prayer of intercession that he prays for believers. After all, praise and prayer are complementary to each other. Praise is prayer. When we praise God, we are praying. We are talking to God about His greatness and His goodness and His wonderfulness. praise and prayer are complementary to each other. Praise should always accompany and at least follow, be followed by prayer. In Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, which we just read, Paul tells us how he prays for the Ephesians believers. But before he lists what he prays will happen in the Ephesians' lives, he points out some very important marks that should characterize their church. He shares two marks in the first of this passage when he talks to them about how he has heard about their faith and about their love. And then at the end of these verses, when he talks about Jesus putting everything under his feet, he talks about Jesus Christ being the head of the church, Christ's body. Now, what I want us to focus on this morning before later in the coming Sundays focusing on what he was praying for the early church, for the church at Ephesus, I want us to focus on the two things, the three things that he spotlights here that makes a church effective, that he was hearing about the church at Ephesus. And one of the first things he says here is that he has heard about their faith. About their faith. When Paul speaks of the Ephesians' faith, what does he mean? Well, I think Paul is talking here about the fact that he's heard that these followers of Jesus at Ephesus that make up the church have a loyalty to Christ that cannot be broken. They are loyal to Christ. I think when he talks about the faith that he's heard about in these early believers, it is talking about their total reliance upon Jesus Christ. He's also talking about their belief, the belief that they have in the person of Jesus. He's also talking here about how that belief results in a personal trust and dependence upon the presence of Jesus. He's also talking about faith bringing repentance. I tell you what, you can talk about your faith in the Lord all you want to, but if it never brings you to the point where you look at yourself and understand where you come up short, and you realize that you need to repent of some things in your life, faith is not really doing its work in your life. Faith should always bring us to repentance, and faith should always bring us to the point where we surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid sometimes that our faith, you know, sometimes when we measure our faith and what we can get out of God, you know, someone would say, well, you know, if you had a stronger faith, he would probably heal you. If you had a stronger faith, he'd probably bless you with more money. If you had a stronger faith, God might bless you with a better situation in life. What we need to understand is that faith is not measured on those things. Faith is measured on how well we surrender ourselves to God. That's the real measure. And what we need to do as believers today is to look in the mirror, to look into the mirror of Jesus Christ and ask ourselves, is my faith resulting not only in my trust in you, but is it resulting in me surrendering to what you want me to do? Faith always carries with it the understanding that if we truly have faith in Jesus Christ, He will be our Lord and our Savior. He will be our Lord, our boss. And we will want to do whatever we can, whatever He says to us we need to do, we want to surrender to that. I'm afraid today as believers, we have left that out of our faith equation. We've left that out of our understanding of faith. We think faith is something that you just have to trust in God, even if you don't see it. And we don't understand that faith goes far more than just trust. It goes to surrender. It goes to coming into Jesus Christ's presence and saying, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I will be what you want me to be. I will let you control my life. My question this morning is that the kind of faith that you have? Paul said, I've heard about your faith. It's recognizable. People look at the way you live for Christ and they say, those are people who trust Jesus. Those are people who follow Him. Those are people who have surrendered to His Lordship. Those are people, when you look into their heart, into their life, you understand that Jesus has just met with them that morning. Is that the kind of faith that you have? He had heard about their faith. And notice that Paul said, and every time I pray, I give thanks for your faith. Why was that? It's because Paul understood that if they had the answer of faith in their life, if they understood what faith really was in their life for, and if they were really responding to God in faith, they could conquer anything. They could go through anything. The evidence of a personal relationship of faith to God opens the door to fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. It opens the door to us living for the Lord and living according to His values and according to His leadership. It opens the door to Him being able to work in our life. Sometimes when we wonder, why isn't God doing things in my life? Why isn't God bringing things about in my life? Sometimes that might be an answer to where our faith is and where our surrender is and where our trust is. Faith leads us into walking with Him. This faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul had heard that from people. I have a feeling that as Paul was in prison, being detained there in Rome, people would come through, and maybe they had passed through Ephesus on their way, and they would come into his bedroom or wherever he was staying, and they would say, man, we've been through Ephesus, and those are people that have great faith. Those are people who are surrendered to the Lord. They're sold out to let Jesus be who He wants to be in their life. And I have a feeling that when Paul heard that, he gave thanks to God. He didn't go back to his sermon file and look up all the sermons he preached and say, man, I really did that one good, didn't I? And I really did that one good. No, he didn't do that. He just said, man, God, thank you. Thank you for building a faith into the people there at Ephesus that I was able to have a part in them becoming a church, a body. It also says here that he gave thanks because of their love. Now, we talk about faith, and we need to understand that when faith is truly a part of our walk with the Lord, that faith will also involve loving others. And so love and faith are twins. They coexist together. You can brag about your love for one another, but if you have no faith in the Lord, it's really not the kind of love that makes a difference. And you can brag about your love that you have for everyone around you, but if you don't have a faith walk with God that surrenders yourself to Him, then that love will not last. That love will not have the desired effect. They reside together. Faith leads us not only toward a love for God, but faith leads us toward a love for each other. Wow. You know what that causes me to do? It causes me to take a step back. As I've been living with this passage for a few weeks, it's caused me to take a step back and think about, who do I love? Well, I really love the people that love me. Don't you? Man, the people that love me, they don't have to do much for my love. But then I think about some of the people that I've had problems with in my life. Some of the people that I just think, well, I'm just going to be blunt. They're jerks. You guys may not have anybody in your life that way. And I think, well, God, does that mean I have to love the jerks too? Yes. Does that mean I have to love the people who just use me sometimes? Do I have to love the people who I don't really think they like me much? Does it mean I have to love people that I don't really like? Yes, it does. You see, if our faith is going to be strong and if our faith is genuine, it will always result in love for everyone. I was going through experiencing God, and Henry Blackaby talks about how we need to love. And he said, you know, we as believers, as Christians, we're really good about making these blanket statements. We love everybody. As a church, we say, you know, everybody's welcome here. We love you. Come in. Be a part of us. We love you. And Henry Blackaby says, then God sends someone that's hard to love to see if you really mean it. I'm not going to name any names. But sometimes God sends us people that are hard to love. Sometimes we are hard to love. And we need to understand that strong faith will lead to a strong love that cannot be defeated, and it cannot be diminished. And God matches our faith with a love that says to everyone, we will love you. We will love you no matter what the price is. So here Paul says, I've not only heard about your faith, I've heard about your love. And Paul rejoiced in that. He thanked God for that because he knew that if he was hearing about their love, that must mean that their faith has become strong and their faith is real and it's resulting in loving others. It was faith in Christ and love for all the saints. But we can't leave this passage until we think about and talk about the third mark that I see here that is key to being an effective church. I think it's something that we don't think about a lot of times, but in the midst of this passage, in verses 22 through 23, Paul ends his word on the power of God by declaring that Jesus was all-powerful, that he had subjected everything under his feet, and that he was the head of the church, his body. Now, what does that mean? When we sit back and we say, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, it means that he's the boss of the church. It means that the church, who is the body of Christ, is measuring everything they do by this simple standard. Is this what Jesus wants us to do? Is this what Jesus is telling us to do? Is this where Jesus wants us to go? We don't ask, well, where are the major donors of the church want us to go? Or well, how about all the people that have been members here for so long? What do they want us to do? No, that really doesn't make any difference. What really makes a difference is, what does Jesus want us to do? Jesus is head of the church. He leads us and he guides us. And he's leading people who have a deep faith in him and who have a love for one another. And that out of that deep faith and that deep love, there's this commitment to understanding that Jesus leads us where we want to go. He shows us where he wants us to go as a church. In fact, Paul described Jesus as the fullness of the church. That is, Jesus Christ is who completes us as a church. We think about all the people in the church that serves in so many wonderful and magnificent ways. And we think about those who serve in front of us and lead music and play instruments and help us in so many ways. And we thank God for that. And we talk about how, you know, a church just wouldn't be complete without the kind of music we have. A church just wouldn't be complete without good preaching. The church would not be complete without all of these people who serve in different ways, and how Ron has served us for the last 9 years. We talk about that in the understanding of the church just wouldn't be complete without them. But what we need to understand is the church is never complete without Jesus. Never complete without Jesus. And we need to understand as a church that he is the fullness of who we are. He's the head and tells us what to do. We are his body, and we follow what the head directs us to do. Jesus, being the head, fills the church. And we who are believers will be filled with by Christ's presence, his attitude, his spirit, to the point that we live like him and demonstrate who he is. We are his body here on earth. Our hands are his hands. Our feet are his feet. Our eyes are his eyes. Our ears are his ears. And our voice is his voice. Jesus completes us. He rules over us. And we become like him. We are in Christ. And he is in us. And we are his body, the church. You really believe that? We exist. Someone has said, the church exists for those who are not reached. Well, I hope we're sensitive to those who are not reached. I hope in our hearts and our minds we're asking God, help us to know how we can reach the unreached. And some people say, well, the church exists for the saved. And I hope every saved believer can come here and discover the Word of God and can hear the Word of God and be and grow in the Word of God and be discipled in the Word of God. I hope that is true of us. But what we really need to understand is we exist for God. We exist for Jesus Christ. We exist for Him. So what do people hear about us? When someone mentions Christ Church in our community, what have they heard about us? What have they heard about you? Paul said, I've heard about the church at Ephesus. They have great faith and they have great love. And God is the head of their church. Jesus Christ is the head and they are the body. I hope that's what this community can say about us. I hope that this community can say, if you ever need to get in touch with Jesus Christ, find someone from Christ Church and they can either tell you how or get you to somebody who can tell you how. I hope that our community says, if you ever want and need someone to love you, walk through the doors of Christ Church on a Sunday and they will love you. Sometimes it's sort of like we've won the lottery when somebody new walks in. That is what I hope the community is hearing about us. I hope they're hearing that we're people who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to such an extent that he is the most important relationship in each of our lives. And if you want to know about him, find someone from Christ Church and they can tell you. Even better than that, most of the time when you're around somebody from Christ Church, it seems like they just spent time with him that morning. Is that the way you live for him? That's what I hope the community hears about us. And I pray that if someone ever writes a letter about Christ Church, that's what they can say. Can they say that about you and your life and your commitment to Jesus Christ? Can they say that about you? Have you placed your faith and your trust in him? Are you walking with him every day? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge of trusting you and of loving others and loving you. And Father, I pray if there's one here who has not placed their faith and trust in you this morning, that they will look to you, call upon you for the salvation you offer, and experience you as Lord and Savior. Father, do your work. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.